Good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church. Our worship services continue to be a little bit different thanks to the coronavirus. We aren't permitted to congregate in large groups. We just want you to know that we are here today with a minimal number of people, and we are practicing our social distancing and taking all the necessary safety precautions. We want you all to know that we miss you very much. We miss your smiling faces, and we pray God's protection and blessing upon you all. This is a very special day today. It's a day in which we celebrate our mothers. To all our moms out there today, we wish you a very happy Mother's Day. I hope that you are being pampered and spoiled by your families if they are at home with you. And to all those moms whose grown children perhaps are living in their own homes and you can't be together, I pray that you are able to connect via Facebook or FaceTime or Zoom apps or Skype, all those possibilities out there. I just pray that you're able to connect and be with your loved ones today. Today we give thanks for the incredible women in our lives, and we are especially thankful for Christian mothers. Last year I shared a poem that I had found, and many people asked me for a copy of it afterward, and so I thought that perhaps it was worth sharing again today. It is a take on the 23rd Psalm, and it is by Laura Hoy Kaufman. My mom is my shepherd, I shall not want. She makes me lie down under cool, downy comforts. She watches me play beside still waters. She restores my soul. She leads me in the paths of respect, responsibility, and goodness, for I am her namesake. Yea, even though I walk past monsters in the dark, I will not be afraid, because my mom is always near me. Her hands and her voice, they comfort me. Mama sets the table and cheerfully calls me to dinner, even in front of big, mean bullies. She anoints my skinned knees and broken heart with kisses. She smiles and throws a towel when my cup runneth over. Surely God's peace, power, and mercy shall uphold me all the days of my life, for my mother taught me to dwell in the house of God forever. Praise God and thank God for mothers. On this day that we celebrate our mothers, we acknowledge that we have so many reasons to celebrate and sing of the greatness of our God. Our God is great and worthy of all praise. Our music team is now going to lead us in song.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. And trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And oh, say how. Worthy of all
Together this day, separated by social distancing, but united as one in your holy presence. We joyfully lift up our hearts and voices to praise and worship you this day, for you are great and greatly to be praised. We wish to thank you and to honor you as we celebrate the gift of your love, a love that supports, nurtures, and challenges us in ways that strengthen and transform us, much like the love of our mothers. We offer you praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing presence in our lives, especially during these very trying times, and we thank you for the blessings that you so generously offer to us. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we give thanks for our mothers. We give thanks for all those who have nurtured and cared for us. Remember especially birth mothers, adoptive mothers, surrogate mothers, aunts, grandmothers, those who long to be mothers, and all women who have shared their faith with us. We thank you for the way that they help to shape our lives and guide us in our walk with you. Father, our hearts go out to all who are experiencing loss or loneliness due to social distancing and isolation. We pray that you will wrap them in your loving arms and provide them with peace and comfort. Give them strength to face each day and faith to believe that you are watching over them. We pray for the sick, and we pray for those who are just feeling overwhelmed with life in general. Bring healing to their bodies and their hearts and to their minds. We thank you for your word that reminds us that you tell us to come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, we praise you for these words that inspire and uplift us. We continue to pray for all essential frontline workers and for all leaders. Uphold them in your loving hands and grant them wisdom, strength, and peace, and keep them safe during these trying times. We pray especially for our church leaders who provide our spiritual guidance. We thank you for Pastor Smart. We are so blessed to have a pastor who looks after his flock and who insists on continuing to share the message of your great love for us. Now, Lord, we ask that you would bless each one listening in today and touch their hearts through the message that Pastor Smart will bring to us today. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move amongst us as we offer you our careful listening ears and our reverence for your holy word. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let me add my own welcome to everyone who is with us this morning, and also my own greeting on this Mother's Day to all mothers who are listening in. Happy Mother's Day to you, and I would be remiss if I did not say Happy Mother's Day, Mom. On this day as well. And I chose to wear this yellow shirt today because every time I wear this yellow shirt, it does remind me of my mother. Now, it's not her favorite color, but it reminds me of my mother because when I was young, one of the things I liked to do in the spring, when the marsh marigolds made their appearance, I loved to go out and collect a bouquet of marsh marigolds and bring them to her. And they are this color, if you're not certain of that. My question for you this morning is, who's the most powerful person in the world? Who is the most powerful person in the world? Now, you might say, well, that's almost a rhetorical question because it's Mother's Day, and you kind of maybe know where I'm headed. But being asked that question, some might say, particularly if they're American, why, that would be the President of the United States. He's the commander-in-chief of the most powerful military force in the world with a huge nuclear arsenal at his fingertips. So surely the answer must be the President of the United States is the most powerful person in the world. I need to remind us of what it reads in Psalm 33, verse 16 and following. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. And so I submit to you that regardless of how powerful an individual might be in this world, the truly powerful in this world are mothers, especially praying mothers. Milton Berle said of mothers, if evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands? Irma Bombeck, she wrote some wisdom in this regard. She said, when my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, I climb out. It's never easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it, she said. And then in a children's dictionary, we read this definition of a sweater. A sweater, noun, a garment worn when your mother is feeling chilly. Children are natural mimics, writes someone, who act like their parents despite every effort to teach them good manners. President Theodore Roosevelt, I love this quote, I've used it before. He writes of mothers, this insightful passage. When all is said and done, it is the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation. It is she who is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. President Roosevelt was correct, for mothers are indeed the most influential people in the world, for they are the ones, more than anyone else, who mold us in our most moldable years. But our culture often, however, ignores or downplays this fact. And Tony Campolo, in writing in this regard, wrote this: too many women are made to feel that they should apologize for being mothers or housewives. In reality, such roles can be noble callings. In his book, The Power Delusion, Tony Campolo tells of a time when he was on the faculty of the University of Pennsylvania. And there would be faculty events where the professors would bring their spouses. And these would be fancy, gussied up affairs. And inevitably, a woman lawyer or a professional of some kind, knowing full well that his wife was a full-time housewife, stay-at-home mom, would confront her with this question: and what is it you do, my dear? To which she would respond, I am socializing two homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the teleologically prescribed utopia inherent in the eschaton. And when she followed that with, and what is it you do? Somehow the person's, I'm a lawyer, wasn't just so overpowering, right? Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with women being doctors or lawyers or being in the workplace, in whatever calling and role that they are equipped for. That's a good thing. But the point is that women who choose to and are blessed to be able to have the opportunity to be able to focus their time and energies on being a mother, they have nothing to be ashamed of. Nor do they need to take a back seat to anyone else on the career issue. We need to pray for those who must face the challenges of having two careers, that of being a mother and also of going to work. Not to mention the challenges that are faced by those who are single moms and have no one to share the parenting load with. And Mother's Day, I am reminded, can be painful for some. There are those who did not have the joy of a mom who loved them and cared for them and raised them in that kind of nurture. There are others who have a child who is already in heaven, and their empty arms cause them pain on a day like this. There are others who, for some reason, are not mothers, even though the deepest longing of their heart is to be a mom and to have children and to have a family. And that just hasn't happened yet. And I want you to know on this special day that you are also in our prayers. And we feel for the ache that is in your heart. And I want to commend all of these ones to you who are listening, to your care and to your prayers, for we know that Jesus cares. What value can you place on mothers? Can you really place a value on mothers? Mothers are invaluable. You really can't calculate their value. But a study in the United States somewhere back around 2010 concluded that if being a mother were to be a salaried position in our society, the work of a mother with all that she does and the hours that she spends and et cetera, that salary in 2020 would be approximately $118,000 a year. Now, there are a whole bunch of men who wonder how they could be mothers. And we know you can't. But you're thinking about that salary. And in point of fact, you cannot put a price on what it means to be a mom and what it takes to be one. It's priceless. I am blessed to have had and have praying mothers in my life. Both of my grandmothers loved the Lord. My mother does. My mother-in-law did. And my wife, we're all and are praying mothers. Never underestimate, folks, what God can do when mothers pray and what God can do when anyone prays. How many of you have had or have a praying mother, praying parents? Both of my parents are praying people. And those of us who have that privilege, we are of all people most blessed. The question is, where might you be today if it weren't for the prayers of your mother or the prayers of your father or of others in your life? But if that is not the case for you, the first thing I'm asking you to do is thank God that you are where you are today. For God has brought you to this day and to this place where you can hear His voice and you can love Him and you can follow Him and you can turn things around. And secondly, make certain that you are a praying parent or you become a praying parent or a grandparent. Okay? It only takes one generation to affect the generations to come into all of eternity. And all of us, whether we have children or not, all of us have people in our lives that we can be praying for and to add that value to their lives and to help them in this way. Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, said of prayer, I quote, "The potency of prayer has subdued the strength of fire. It has bridled the rage of lions, extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, healed diseases, rescued cities from destruction, stopped the sun in its course. Prayer is the root, the foundation, the mother of 1,000 blessings." The Bible, from cover to cover, contains story after story of the power of prayer. And untold millions of stories throughout history attest to the power of prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we read, "The earnest prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." The Amplified Version at this point reads, "Makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its workings." And in that verse, the word powerful there is the word dunamis, which actually is the same root from which we get the word dynamite. And then James goes on in the next verse to write, "Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." In the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 4, there is the fascinating story there of a widow, a single mother, who was about to lose everything, including her sons, because they were to be taken away into slavery because her husband had died and she couldn't pay the creditor. The situation was desperate and she was destitute except for faith. What could she do? What did she do? She prayed. Let's read the story. It's 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars, and don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him, and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. There are a number of things from this passage that teach us about the power of prayer. And the first thing, and it may seem rather obvious, but the first thing is she prayed. She prayed. No doubt she knew how to pray. No doubt she had been praying about her desperate state of affairs. And now she brings her situation to the attention of the prophet Elisha. She knew Elisha. Her husband had been part of his school of the prophets that he had inherited from Elijah. Her husband had sat under Elisha's teaching, and perhaps even under Elijah's as well. We do not know. But now her husband is dead, and her debts have become so great that the creditors are about to take her sons into slavery to pay the debt. Here's the key out of this. To receive an answer to prayer, one first must pray. Billy Graham wrote, heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. She prayed, and now she puts action to that prayer. She brings her situation to Elijah. The second thing that I point out about prayer in this case is she believed, and that's an important aspect of prayer. She heard what Elisha told her, and she believed him, and she exercised faith. Jesus taught us that our faith is to be like that of children, that of complete trust in our Heavenly Father, and so is our praying to be that way. Philip Yancey writes, faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense afterward. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. There we read, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. When God speaks as we pray, we must take him at his word. We must believe God. That's an important part of prayer. Elisha had said to her, go to your neighbors, ask for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Don't be shy, in other words. Ask for all they can give you and ask boldly. And she did. So this takes us to that third element of prayer. She obeyed. She obeyed. She acted on what Elisha told her. She did exactly as she was instructed. And when all the jars that she could get her hands on had been collected, she went inside, she closed the door, and with her sons began to fill the empty jars from the only jar that she had, the little bit of oil in it. Here's a key to answer prayer. Obey God. Take God at his word. Live within his revealed will and how he is instructing you in your own life. If God says don't, don't. If God says do, do. If God says go, go. If God says stop, stop. She obeyed God. And then she received. That's the fourth element that I find in this story that's instructive to us regarding prayer. She received. God answered her prayer. God provided the miracle that saved her and her sons from slavery. Only God could have done what happened there. See, the creditors had the right to claim her sons as slaves until the debt was paid or the year of Jubilee, every 50th year, happened where all debt had to be canceled. She received from God. She received in abundance. Every jar was filled to the top. Olive oil was a precious commodity in that economy. It was worth as much as gold or silver. You could trade with it. She had collected enough jars that once filled, she had enough oil to pay off all of her debts and enough left over to provide her with a continuing living, enough to raise her sons and a pension plan to boot. God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think, and is able to give and loves to answer prayer in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's the heart of our God in heaven. God heard her prayer. God answered her prayer, because God is a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. He hears us when we pray. And in the Bible, we are told that his ear is inclined toward us. That's the kind of hearing, so that he can hear, so that he won't miss a word. He turns his ear. He inclines it toward us so he can hear our prayer. God doesn't need to do that in order to hear our prayer. It's the picture that is given to us of the heart and the intent of God. God answers prayer in his way and in his time, as those you are praying for respond to his work that he does because of our prayers and because of your prayers. If you're a mom or a grandmother, you've been praying for a family member, a son or daughter or grandchild, and they're just not responding to God, and God doesn't seem to be answering your prayers, or whatever your prayers may be. And maybe you're discouraged that it doesn't appear to you that your prayers are being answered. And maybe in your heart you're sensing right now that heaven is somewhat silent. Keep praying. Heaven is not silent. It's just not answering yet, because the timing of God is never wrong. But keep praying. You have no idea where the child you are praying for might be if it weren't for your prayers. If you keep praying, God will keep working to answer those prayers. You can claim his promises. Claim them. And as you pray, claiming his promises, God will unfold in your life his answers to your prayers. I want to conclude, as we prepare for our last song, to read for you some selected verses from Psalm chapter 11, and then the team will sing. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. His praise endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that has been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise. Strong forever.
His love endures forever. By the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. Forever God is faithful,
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the one who is strong, you are the one who is faithful, and in you we place our trust. And now for mothers and everyone who is hearing this message, we pray that the God who is forever faithful to bless you and keep you, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Amen. And amen. God bless you.